I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. We hope you're staying at a hotel right now. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Paul Mission Control Deckett. Most importantly, you are you, you are here, and that makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. So today's episode is about travel. It's about hotels. Where's the weirdest place you've ever stayed?
You know, most of the weird places I've stayed have not been traditional hotels or motels. It's been the more recent rental property things like Airbnbs and Vrbos. I've stayed at a few weird ones where I just thought to myself while I was there, whose idea was it to rent this place out? And how much time and effort actually went into that, this whole thing? Because it doesn't feel like a lot. I smell dog.
I think what's weirder to me is I don't know what a Vrbo is. Is that just another type of Airbnb situation?
Yeah, I think it's another company that
I'm out
that
of touch,
you
guys.
Can rent property.
I'm out of touch. I've been really liking staying in these tiny pod hotels lately because they're really affordable and they're usually in pretty reasonably situated locations. And it's sort of like going to summer camp, you know, sleeping in a bunk.
Well, how about you, Ben?
Oh my gosh, Matt, thank you for asking. Yeah, I've been in some pretty crazy places, some pretty off the books places, some kind of pay cash places. Not that I was up to anything untoward. Probably homestays were some of the weirdest places I've been. And a couple of things that were glorified campsites.
It looked like
a hotel in the front, but you walked out. I kid you not. You walk out after you pay for the thing and you find out that the front of the building is a facade. And I walked into a place where it was sort of campsite set up in this box canyon. Weird times. Good people though.
Great oldies.
Yeah. Very nice people. I mean, look, if you travel a lot, you're familiar with the ins and outs of hotels. They have a lot of very, very tempting pros to them, right? Today's episode is not about the pros. It's about the cons, but let's talk about the pros. You know, someone cleans up after you. Someone supplies you with fresh bed sheets, fresh towels, allegedly. And, you know, if you look at hotels, if you look at these, forgive me, guys, liminal spaces, you see from the very bare bones bunk style hostels and capsule hotels, which, a pod hotel, Noel, is like a nicer version of a capsule hotel, right? All the way up to the elite 5-star White Lotus institutions of the world. Turns out hotels, hold secrets as often as they hold guests. And earlier, we asked some of our fellow conspiracy realists for their experiences, and it was, I would imagine, eye-opening for all of us. So without further introduction, here are the facts.
Everybody knows what a hotel is. It's a temporary place to go to sleep, and that's it. You put your stuff in a room, and you go to sleep, and that's all you do in the hotel room.
Yeah,
right?
Sometimes there's a place to hang your hat, literally and or figuratively, perhaps a hook for your coat. It's true. It is a bit of a way station, you know, in the journey that is life. Although there are some people that like to stay in hotels long term, which I think is a very interesting and expensive way to live. But these people do exist. And there are hotels like the one I was just staying at, I was telling you guys off air, that are kind of designed for that. Like designed for some of them on the higher end and some of them on the like rent by the week mega, mega lower end as well.
Which we stayed at together the first time we encountered that place you're referring to, right?
On the higher end. Now, I've never been in one of the weekly, I guess they call them roach motels. They're sort of like, some of them even pay by the hour, but I have been aware of ones in my hometown that were like really rough. And there were people in, you know, basically one step away from a halfway house that were living in these hotels.
And the etymology is interesting because back in the day in the U.S., these were called motor courts. And if you're lucky enough, if you're in the right area, you can visit a couple of these. And they the ones that are still standing look like little discreet bungalows. And they're all meant to sort of capitalize or monetize the car culture that sprang up in the United States, especially in the post-World War II boom. But people have always needed places to stay. And it turns out hotels have dated back into antiquity. The oldest continually running hotel right now in the world is a place called the Nishiyama Onsen Kyunken. It was founded in, get this, 705 CE, which is kind of nuts. That's 1,000 years before the United States was even a twinkle in the eye of those colonists.
Yeah, I imagine it's sort of, I mean, probably started as just hosts, you know, in small villages where perhaps there were travelers that would come through literally just allowing people a place to stay. And then someone got the right idea of like, wait a minute, I could like make this a little side hustle, you know, charge a few bucks. And then it's sort of the hotel industry, the hospitality industry, as it were, a word that typically means generosity. It's sort of ironic the way it's used in the industry, sort of sprang up, right?
It makes total sense that if you had to take a journey to get somewhere, right, and maybe weather is often inhospitable in that region or something, you would
inhospitable. Nice.
Mm-hmm, would want to have something like this. And yeah, somebody just had a great idea. We got a lot of rooms, guys. Oh, my God. Let's do this.
Yeah, it wasn't too long ago in here in the United States where if your car broke down or something like that, people wouldn't just stop to help you change a tire or check under the hood. They would also say, hey, you need a place to crash? But of course, as we know, the 1950s and 60s were not all trumpets and angel farts. It was a very difficult time for very many people.
Yeah, Ben, you remember when we went on that car stuff road rally trip? We stopped at a couple of, I guess, historic motor courts, or also motor lodge, I think is another term that kind of was used. But they almost feel like they're not trailer parks, but they're arranged that way, you know, in sort of like an array with a court in the middle. You know, they were really nice. The ones that we went to, they were kept up in very period specific kind of accurate ways. And that was kind of one of my favorite parts of the trip.
Nice. Yeah. Discreet bungalows meant to capitalize on the boom of traveling by automobile in post-World War II. I mean, look, we don't have to spend too much time, hopefully, on the history or definition of the idea of staying somewhere else. Pretty much everybody knows what these things are. And let's be honest, some people love staying in hotels. Some people hate it. Your mileage may vary, and there are some hotels that are better than others, but one thing's for sure, they are a huge business across the world. And in the U.S. alone, we pulled some stats on this.
Yeah, that's right. A multi-billion dollar industry has sprung up around this concept of hospitality for hire. Let's call it. Hotels in the United States alone made $239.7 billion with a B dollars, and $101.3 billion of that was pure profit, baby. They're cleaning up. This is a very lucrative industry.
For many, right? Because there are many other hotel chains or individually owned hotels that are struggling to keep people in them. It just depends on location. And well, I mean, there's so many factors. I can't list all the variables, but it's very interesting. The high end profitability of a well-run, well-kept, well-placed hotel versus, you know, just a hotel that's randomly off the highway.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And while we know that there is a great variance, hotels that are struggling and closing their doors versus the most high-end luxe stuff in the city of London, right? Or in Vegas or what have you, we know one thing is for sure. When you get to that level of money, there is almost always a bit of stuff they don't want you to know. Here's where it gets crazy. Let's break it down. The stuff hotels don't want you to know. An even more awkward acronym than the acronym for our show, the SHDWYTK. We can break it out in a couple of categories, and we do so with thanks to all our fellow conspiracy realists, many of whom you guys remember wrote in when we first started talking about this. I think maybe we start with the shallow water and get into the deep stuff, like the hotel deals. We talk about this a lot because we were, especially pre-pandemic, we were on the road pretty often.
Yeah. Are you on your way to a hotel right now? Hopefully you haven't already checked in. Doesn't matter if you've got a reservation or not. If you're on your way to a hotel, this is mind-blowing. I never thought of this. You can negotiate at the front desk. You can do it. All you have to do, literally, we've learned this from many people, from people writing in. There's a blog or an article of some sort written in 2005 by a ex-hotel general manager that states this outright. If you go up to the front desk when there's nobody else around, you can literally haggle the price down.
Problem there, though, is like, you know, and maybe this is just a me paranoia thing. I'm just scared they're going to be booked up. And then you've got, not only do you have zero bargaining power, but you're kind of out on your butt and you haven't booked yourself a room. I just, you know, certainly seen that situation. If you don't know, there's like a, you know, a conference in town or something.
So. It's not a bad point, especially in very heavy traffic areas. Like we often, let's be honest, we often travel to very high traffic areas. And in those cases, there may literally be no room at the end. I stayed at a YMCA in a pretty big metropolis one time because that was the easiest place to go. A lot of folks will say, oh gosh, first we have to tell you, this episode is not sponsored by Big Hotel. You know,
Ben, I have to ask, at the YMCA, did they have lots of young things for young men to enjoy?
That's a reference to the pop group.
Which is a reference to the place.
yeah. Right. We're helping them out. I think in my experience, it was like a hostel almost.
It must have at least had ping pong.
It was not a hostile hostel, but it was definitely a hostel. You can, like, the thing is, nobody wants to get caught out, like Noel is talking about. You know, like, you don't want to go to a place and then go to a city and find you have no place to stay. But to your point, Matt, if you are in an out of the way place, a pull off from the interstate place, you can usually go in and you can attempt to negotiate a rate because they will be still making more money than they would have if they had not sold the room. I mean, there are also a ton of apps nowadays. You know, I don't know about you guys. I still use hoteltonight.com, not a sponsor.
Oh, I don't know though. I think I just used regular old hotels.com. Right. I think maybe Travelocity occasionally because it just had a cool jingle. Right.
Those are all great.
They all kind of do the same thing, though, right? They're all just, you know, what's the word? They collate all the same data. None of them necessarily has an edge over any other one, unless I'm wrong.
It depends. Yeah, you're right. It depends on the deal the chain has with Kayak versus whatever Hotels Tonight or whatever it is. Seriously, there are certain chains that are in there, and you're probably not going to be aware of which one's which. That's why we're saying, like, even if you have a reservation, this hotel manager is saying, once you arrive at the hotel, if business is slow, they are not going to turn you away. Because you are a paying customer, you can just haggle a little bit.
So get the res and then show up and then talk turkey. I like it. Okay.
We're on the same page. This is the kicker. Those apps, those collating forces, as we're calling them, they function as fixers, as negotiators. And the majority function in good faith, but you are still much more likely to get a good deal by calling or contacting the front desk directly and attempting to negotiate. You can also, if you want some extra credit or want to save a couple bucks, you can do a little research on what they offer online, again, directly at their website, and then ask about discounts. You might be surprised. You don't have to be a veteran, et cetera. You can just say, hey, I'm a cool guy in, you know, outside of Louisville for two nights. I would love a room.
Definitely call yourself a cool guy.
That's the rule number one of being a cool person is you loudly declare how cool you are. Yeah.
Oh, hey guys, we need to take a quick break, hear a word from our sponsor, but we will be right back.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpert.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with the Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we have returned.
Through this journey, guys, I know this is like just the first thing, but I genuinely didn't know this stuff. I didn't know that scratch and dent policy functions at hotels with hotel rooms.
Meaning If your room's funky or something? Okay, got it.
It's like a hotel room that the manager has basically on hold. Nobody can go in there. Nobody can rent that room out right now because there's a stain on the carpet. There's something isn't working. The TV isn't functioning right now. So
a little bit of blood, maybe.
Well, yeah. Hopefully not.
Well, that's more, at least it's more visible. It doesn't work. Anyway, we'll get to that. But no, that's really interesting, Matt. I've been watching, literally in the last like week or so, I started watching a Gordon Ramsay show called Hotel Hell, where he goes and like helps like struggling small bed and breakfast and like in kind of, you know, that are inns that are in over their head, you know, get right and become profitable. And usually the first thing he notices are things like you're describing, but it's like in every room. It's like every room of these places are scratch and dent rooms. So you're saying you could ask for that one and just say, hey, I'll take that one and I'll pay less.
You can request or see. Again, this only works with one-on-one interaction, right? No apps, no online stuff. If you're
better
talking,
not to be on the phone as well, yes, if we're being honest.
If you're in person, you say, I'm happy to accept an out-of-order room at a reduced rate. Or, like, literally, just say that, and you might get a great percentage off, and your TV doesn't work. So what? You've got Wi-Fi and a phone.
So long as you don't ask questions. not too many. Yeah, let's do that. Let's get to the dirty stuff. I love you set that up so well, Matt. In general, there is a non-zero likelihood that your room probably is not as clean as you think. Even if you pay the full rate, everything we're saying is not to disparage the good people working in the hospitality industry. It is important to remember that hundreds of people pass through your average hotel room over the course of the year. It is practically impossible to erase all evidence of those prior occupants. And you can find multiple studies about this. You can find, like, let's see, we pulled one from a Fox News affiliate investigation, but you can find any number of local news, you know, like your Channel 11s, your Channel 5s and 2s, like you can find any number of investigations of local hotels saying, oh, we got a UV light, or, oh, we found some bed bugs. In 2007, Fox News Syndicated reported that a hidden camera investigation of hotels here in our fair metropolis of Atlanta revealed there was a problem with glasses. You guys know those, you know, the little glasses that are like by the coffee or by the mini fridge or, of course, by the bathroom sink.
These are nicer hotels. So these are actual glass glasses.
Yeah, these are not sippy cups. Yes.
No.
They often don't get washed.
They don't get taken to a kitchen where they would go through a dishwasher, right? They do get washed, but with Windex or whatever cleaner they've got.
Or they get like rubbed.
Sprayed down and then...
Yeah, I think that's interesting. And, you know, to reference back the place that we have all stayed that I just came back from, it is kind of like a long-term type place and they have full glasses and cutlery and everything, but they also have a dishwasher. So... word to the wise, in that situation, I would probably run a load before you deign to mess with any of this stuff on good faith. Now, again, I thought this place was very impeccably clean. But, you know, to reference Ramsay again, one thing he has that I'd love to hear more about, like the provenance of what this freaking thing is. But he basically has this meter, this handheld thing that he swabs stuff in rooms, whether it be, you know, the caulking on the edge of like a sink or a bathtub or whatever. And then he sticks it into this machine. He says, anything, I'm not going to do a Gordon Ramsay impression, but anything over 30 is in the danger zone. And he was getting readings of like 500, like 1,000 in some of these rooms, which I bet you in your mid to lower tier and possibly upper tier hotels, you're probably going to get some stuff that's in the danger zone in one of these magic Gordon Ramsay boxes.
Are you talking about ATP? Like ATP swabs?
I guess that's what it's called. He didn't really name it, but it's like literally a handheld kind of meter with a little kind of piece on the side that you can click open and you swab and you put it in a little tube and then it goes inside there and then you hit a button and it gives you a reading. So I'm not sure what the official name for this thing is, but he did. He likes to point out every time he uses it, anything over 30 is really bad. So that when something comes up at like 100 or 500, I think once 1,000, you know how awful it is.
Can you imagine if he did that to like your bedroom?
My bedroom, dude, would be seriously
horrifying. I'm sure.
Don't want to think about it. You know, I'm not charging anybody to sleep in my bedroom. So
actually, the reason I know about ATP swabs is because I recently relocated and I get a little Howard Hughes when I move into places. You know, how clean are they? But like we're describing basic cleanliness, folks. We may be thinking of some absolute crash pad from film and fiction, you know, like that grody by the hour hotel in Dark City, or any number of Quentin Tarantino films or Quentin Tarantino-esque grindhouse stuff, sleazy flop houses. But repeated investigations, again, have shown that even the most high-end hotels may not be as clean as you imagine. This is where we want to introduce Jennifer Stagg, a doctor and author who had some insight that stood out to us here. She said, quote, "You would think paying more for a hotel would also net you a cleaner room, but investigative reporters have found that is not always to be the case." She noted specifically bathroom counters and faucets can sometimes be cleaned with the same cloth used to clean the commode, which means the fecal matter and all the entourage of the fecal matter, biologically speaking, can get into the counters and faucets.
That's not cool. Oh, my God. Gordon Ramsay would be appalled.
I mean, it's cool for the bacteria attempting to reproduce and expand its
right
reach.
On. You know, yeah, I love the idea. Didn't we talk about sentient bacteria recently? It was something along those lines. Yeah, but these guys, they definitely, their goal is to spread, whether it be on surfaces or in the air. So, you know, maybe do anything you can to help them not do that thing. But it doesn't seem like these hoteliers and their cleaning crews are doing that.
Well, here's the problem. We don't know, and we cannot prove, neither could they, if it is a hotel level problem, if it is a single staff, you know, level problem. Like, where is it? It's really hard to know, because often when one of these investigations goes on, you can't get to the root of it. Like, did your boss tell you to wipe down everything from the toilet to the other side of the room, the bathroom? Did that person's boss okay that practice? Is that just somebody who isn't properly trained?
I guess one would think that a large organization would have like some pretty specific codified standards. They certainly do about the most asinine things. You know, in terms of like workflow and software you have to use and how you log your hours and all, you'd think they would have some training video that they would have these folks watch and not just leave it willy-nilly up to individuals. And there would be somebody checking behind with one of those ATP swabs to make sure that it had been done properly.
Well, I want to chime in here because we're getting to an important point here. So housekeeping is often treated as less than in the hierarchy of hotels, which means that they are often scapegoated for the same policies or the consequences of the same policies created by management. So management will cut those folks loose and leave them in the cold when it is management's decision. It is management's responsibility. I sound like I'm radicalizing for a housekeepers union, but it is true. An Inside Edition report from just a few years ago, June 2020, found that three very high class hotels in the Big Apple, we'll name them. They're in the public record now: Hyatt Place in Times Square, Hampton Inn Times and Square Central, and of course, your favorite, Matt, Trump International. no one can see Matt's very meaningful nod.
I wouldn't stay anywhere else. Why would
right.
you?
Are you really pooping if you're not pooping on a gold toilet?
Do they really all have gold? I would think you have
to get
upcharged.
Sure,
this is really a really fascinating thing to think about, Ben, because it's all about turning those rooms over as quickly as possible, isn't it? You know, it's all about like the churn of like getting people checked out as quickly as possible, getting the new people checked in as quickly as possible, I would think, to get them to maximize the amount of money these rooms can bring in for the hotel. And so it does make sense that maybe you would cut some corners on a organizational level to decrease that turnaround time.
It's a business, and it's a business that needs butts in the beds.
And the gold toilets.
And yeah, and perhaps the gold toilets. You know, I don't want to brag, and I can't. I've never pooped in a gold toilet.
Maybe yeah, that's you haven't lived then, Ben. That's just all that
really?
Comes down. That's
you,
all that,
are
yeah.
you out here pooping in gold toilets?
No.
Give
no.
me a Japanese toilet any day.
Oh, absolutely. One that talks to me and tells me a bedtime story. No,
I like to poop in the future. You know what I mean?
but the whole point of that problem, specifically with bathrooms not being as clean as they should be, it's because the hotel ultimately does need that turnover, right? But they also just they need everything to look and smell. So what do your senses say that's about your, this
yeah.
room? Is it clean?
Priority.
Does it feel luxe? Does it feel that way? Then, hey, we're good to go. I mean, I'm not saying anybody is purposefully trying to get a dirty room to make people sick. It's just that's a business decision, maybe.
100%. Yeah. And it's not as though a mobile UV light is standing there next to the remote control at your hotel, right? And remote controls, going back to Dr. Stagg, they can be a problem, and it's not housekeeping's fault.
It's the disgusting, disgusting humans.
It's
yeah.
the disgusting, doing their best humans. Yeah,
you know what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah. I got your back, man. It's the humans doing their best. They take a grody 3.5 on the Richter scale. You know, they drop a hot mixtape, and then they walk back into the room and they grab the remote.
Or they've perhaps dialed up some adult entertainment on said remote. And then do what they do with said entertainment, and then flip it back to Cartoon Network with the same hand they just did the do with. Just putting
yeah,
that out there.
No, it's a great point. Are we in an ignorance is bliss situation? Because what can you do? The easiest thing to do if you don't sanitize stuff on your own and rubbing sanitizer on it is not going to work. What do you carry a little Ziploc bag around and you always put the remote in the Ziploc bag and then you push the buttons through the plastic? How Howard Hughes do we want to be? It is a slippery slope.
And a slippery remote. Potentially.
Hashtag worth it.
Well, yeah. Guys, I know some people who actually do the baggy thing. They're like the huge bags, like freezer bags, mm-hmm. I guess, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. they're just big enough. Put it in there; it's good to go.
Wait, the whole thing, like as like a remote condom, you put it inside of there and then handle it through the bag. That's amazing. I love this.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
No, I'm sorry. I think I was maybe thinking you were using the bag to sanitize it, like be to swishing it around. And some no, you leave it in there. I got it. Okay.
Yeah, and maybe wrap and the bag around to tighten it, and then you're thinking now I can watch the hotel, that weird limbo hotel channel that is on so many, where they're like, welcome to the shops by the creek.
Yeah. And it just looks like a screensaver the whole time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And they got shirts in many complicated patterns.
Yeah. And it doubles as, you know, a splash damage protector. So that's always
there we
good.
Go. I mean, what about the hotel phone, though? That's another bag of badgers. Sadly, the coffee maker. Coffee being one of our big co-hosts, along with Matt, what energy drink do we have today?
It's more liquid death. This time, peach tea. Rest in peach.
That's cute.
Does it really say that?
It does.
Yeah,
okay. Rest metal. These are all new to me. I thought it was just water. This is good. I got to try this stuff out. Ben, you mentioned coffee machines. I think we're specifically talking about a type of coffee machine that was very much present in my recent stay, which I used the hell out of. I had to ask for more pods. I had to get them to send me more pods up. The Nespresso machine. Because, you know, when you see a room that has a Nespresso machine, not just a run-of-the-mill, plasticky, crappy little Keurig, but an espresso, your mind immediately starts to just trust the situation a little more, where you're like, no, this is a level up. They've got, they're thinking about the right things. This is a nice piece of coffee kit. And I'm not worried about bacteria. Am I being naive, Ben?
Oh, it's not up to me, man. It is a numbers game, though. You know, it's kind of like you go to a fast food place. How often is the soda fountain cleaned, right? Yes. So everything that is high touch, regularly used, we cannot assume it is not a vector for some sort of potential damage. There was one study published in Scientific Reports a while back, pre-pandemic, where researchers from the University of Valencia found bacteria alive and well, very thriving, in 9 Nespresso machines that had only been used in a hotel for a year.
Ah, standing water.
That's right. And that does make sense. I tried to rinse mine out, and you only put as much water in as you want for your little espresso shot. So it definitely didn't come pre-filled, like, and I will say that. But what, let's just be clear for a second. You know, this kind of bacteria growth, it can sicken you, right? Like, I mean, it can make you ill. Probably won't kill you, but it's going to make you have a bad time.
And that's because you might be drinking it. You also might be reclining or relaxing in something just as dirty. Let's be honest, the main reason people have always gone to hotels or hostels or motels or motor courts is to sleep somewhere outside of the elements. So the bed sheets, the comforter, the duvets, they're all supposed to be changed on a regular basis. And Matt, one of the most recent times we were on the road, I think you, Noel, and I had a conversation about the state of the duvets. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, duvet covers, guys, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe those are the things that cover up a comforter, right?
That's
the things
right.
That wrap around a larger blanket that you would drape over the top of a bed.
Decorative purposes, right?
They are, but they're designed that way in hotels so that you don't have to wash the whole blanket, the big thick blanket with all those materials. You just wash the thing that's on the outside of it, the covering, right? The only problem is with liquids, guys. Beds and liquids, they don't go together, but they are constantly hanging out with each other. I don't know why. And it's just like anytime liquids seep in, it just gives me an icky feeling. So, often I will take whatever's on the top of that hotel bed and just toss it out.
Matt, I can't believe it. Are we gentrifying the bed bugs then? They've worked so hard, so ardently.
You gotta check under the mattress for that, right?
The move is to walk in, keep the lights off, remove any throw pillows, and then take the duvet or the comforter back from the top.
Or just sleep in your clothes, wearing rubber gloves and a mask.
I kid you not. There was a time where I was staying in a place where I had my jeans tucked into my socks with rubber bands around it. It was not ideal.
And to your point, I think it is the top kind of layer that is washed the least. You know, like, is the sheet, the underneath parts, the thinner parts are like easier to wash, easier to change. But the top part, it's like it takes up more volume in a washing machine. They probably don't do it. They have to send them maybe even to another facility or something because they take up a lot of space. So, I mean, like, I'm looking at an article on uponarriving.com, just sort of like a hotel inspection kind of blog. And there's some personal accounts of hotel employees talking about how that is definitely the case. These top guys are the ones that get the least love. Well, the least cleaning love, of other kinds of love.
And we could do several episodes about this sort of stuff. And I imagine we'll have some of our fellow conspiracy realists write in with their own firsthand encounters. I still remember waking up being eaten by fire ants unexpectedly at 3 a.m. out toward the Grand Canyon. But for now, We're not here to give you just an episode about staying clean, and we're not here to try to make you a new germaphobe or Howard Hughes. Let's get to the juicy stuff. There is more stuff hotels don't want you to know. So we're going to pause for a word from our sponsor, and then we'll get to a little bit of the dark umami, the crime, the fake names, the grifts, the murders, he said in a weird voice, pausing for a word from our sponsor.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with the Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we have returned. Earlier, we talked about the idea of using a fake name at a hotel. And if you guys recall, we landed on something like, you can probably request that the staff put you under a fake name, which I have done before in full disclosure, but you will still have to provide an actual ID and a credit card with your real name. It turns out this is not always the case. When our pal and former bank robber, who we'll call Jay, we talked off air, and we're not going to spoil Jay's story in entirety. But just so you know, we found one case where it was possible to use social engineering, successfully to create a fake name while you were on the run. We can't verify how all of this went down, but we can say this person has proven a reliable source in the past and doesn't have a reason to be deceitful. And also, here's the big thing about fake names in hotels. It is, in the United States, entirely legal to check in under a different name so long as you are not actually committing a crime. So, like, as long as you don't have a fake ID that says Max Powers, astronaut with a secret or something, you're totally fine. If you find a place that takes cash and you can pay the incidental, you can use whatever name they grant you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it all feels also like the based on, you know, on a case by case basis, depending on what the hotel and the hotelier and front desk people are comfortable with. I personally think it's good that you can use an assumed name. You know, I mean, this is something that, you know, celebrities and stuff who have maybe stalkers, they wouldn't want anybody to and just anybody to be able to find out that they were staying there. So a lot of I've heard that certain folks have a handful of go-to fake names that they use when they're traveling, you know, and they kind of stick to those. Kristen Stewart, for example, of Twilight fame, and that's selling Kristen a little bit short. Has gone on to do many, many much more interesting things. Uses the name Chuck Steak sometimes. Paul McCartney likes to go with Apollo C. Vermouth, and Ozzy Osbourne is quite fond of using Prince Albert or the quite ribald Harry Bollocks.
So the hotel may need confirmation of your actual identity, but they are going to adhere to the name you've registered when booking your room, whether that's Harry Bollocks or any other number of puns. Whether you book your hotel by telephone or online or in person, the thing is, it is possible to stay anonymous. One thing that might trip people up is they're going to need a contact, right? Like a contact address, a contact phone number. If you get a willing co-conspirator, then you can provide that address, that number. The reason hotels need this, and this is very valid, is in case something goes wrong, in case they walk in and there's blood and poop everywhere, or someone has just dismantled all the furniture. It's not common for a hotel to go and chase you unless you have done something untoward, unless you owe them money, or unless you forgot some of your stuff, right? Some of your belongings, a suitcase, a jacket, and so on. As for why someone might check in under a false name, any number of reasons. You might be a private investigator. You might be someone on the run from a very violent domestic abuse situation. You know what I mean? People using different names are not always villains. You might be a celebrity avoiding unwanted attention. You might, on the more sinister side, be attempting to commit a crime, which goes to another more disturbing secret, which may not be appropriate for everybody listening today. Hotels and motels are a not uncommon venue for particular sorts of crime, including drug deals and sex trafficking.
Yeah, and a lot of it has to do, well, here's the other thing. When you hear that, your mind may go to a seedy hotel you've seen in film, right? Depicted on a television series or something. Oh, there's human trafficking. There's some kind of sex work going on at this hotel in some way, right? That's not the case. That is the case sometimes, but it's not just those places that if you looked at it, you may think, oh, there is human trafficking occurring there, because that's what popular culture has taught me to think about that type of establishment.
Right. Like, it's not the place with the creepy guy from Seven talking about people come with all kinds of packages. You know, they come with whole suitcases. No, that's the whole point, right? That would be like way too on the nose. It's all about flying under the radar for these, you know, organizations that are actually benefiting from this kind of human trafficking. They don't want it to come off in any way as untoward or as anything that would, you know, raise any eyebrows.
And Ben, you found something from what? 2016?
Unfortunately, this is true. Before we get to 2016, we should note that the National Human Trafficking Hotline here in the United States says there's a reason that the hospitality industry is beleaguered by this sort of practice, sex trafficking in particular. It's, quote, the ease of access for buyers, the ability to pay in cash and maintain secrecy, and the lack of the traffickers needing to maintain facilities or upkeep the premises, which is, again, another advantage of hotels for people who are long-term residents. Back in 2016, to your point, Matt, 10.5% of all cases of sex trafficking that were reported to the U.S. National Human Trafficking Hotline, they all came from hotels. More than 10%. And it's not, again, as we're saying throughout this episode, this is not to disparage the hotel staff. Imagine you're in another high traffic area, right? You see hundreds of people coming in and out every day. It can be difficult to clock this phenomenon and see it for what it is, to unveil that conspiracy. In fact, hotel staff are increasingly trained to note and detect the signs of this aberrant practice. We want to thank everybody listening. Now, if you work in the hospitality industry, for doing your part to combat trafficking. I mean, also, in a less gruesome fashion, there's another sometimes sexually related cover-up afoot in hotels. You guys saw White Lotus. You know, you may have been at some really fancy, luxe resorts. It turns out that for the right price, some incredibly high-end luxury outfits will help you out with all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, and it's not like these services. Now, we're not talking about actually doing murders, perhaps assisting with some cover-up type behavior. It's not like these are being done with any kind of benevolence. You know, this benefits the business. You know, if there are these kinds of things that happen, crimes that happen on the property of these high-profile hotels, you know, theoretically speaking, no exact proof of this, it's just saying, conjecturing, it is in the best interest of the hotel to perhaps offer some more premium services, some fixing, if you will.
I mean, even before you get in that deep water, the point that I'm sort of going for here is, as long as a customer rates VIP, as long as they have the money, it appears completely possible that they may successfully ask for assistance in things like obtaining drugs, contacting sex workers, cover up this weekend with my mistress, etc. And it's not all illegal activity. It might be something where you have, for instance, a quite well-to-do person say, "Oh, I heard Wimbledon is playing tomorrow. Get me tickets. I know it's sold out, but put me in the Augusta Masters crowd," or something like that, you know, and that stuff can happen. I want to shout out a very fascinating Reddit thread from a few years back with examples of people asking for some crazy stuff and getting it delivered. I think what you're talking about, Noel, is much more interesting and extremely unpleasant, and it is the idea of covering up a crime, which historically has happened. People do die at hotels. This is a bummer, but it is true. It's not always sinister. Just again, we have to understand these institutions have hundreds, thousands of people moving through them. And sometimes stuff doesn't work out. People might have heart attacks. They might have accidents. They might have overdoses, and so on. Sometimes suicide is a factor, and unfortunately, it is not uncommon for people to go on a vacation with the intent that they will not return to their lives. And there are entire industries built around cleaning up sites of death and violence. One of the modern parlances for this is something called a biohazard cleaning technician. And there's a guy named Dale Cillian, we found, who was working as a BCT, and their responsibilities included responding to crime scenes, deaths, accidents, extreme cleanup situations. And weirdly enough, Dale also specifically mentions hoarding. So this guy also has to show up in hoarding situations. We know what we're talking about with hoarding, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a couple of rungs above scoring somebody some illicit substances, right? You know, find them, bring in the biohazard guy, bring in the Winston Wolf to make it all go away. And again, just want to add that, like, in a lot of these situations, it is in the best interest of the hotelier, to make sure that none of this stuff catches the attention of the authorities, because then it besmirches the name of the business.
As mentioned earlier in the conversation about Vegas, we'll shout out a specific in the trenches look at Vegas pretty soon. Cillian, to continue, makes a chilling observation and says, "I don't know if it's chilling, it's just heartbreaking. Cillian says sometimes people kill themselves in hotels because they're worried no one else would find the body otherwise.
Yikes.
That is chilling and sad. I hate to hear anyone would feel so lost and alone as to resort to that. That's rough. But
it's why people like Stephen Stack of Wayne State University tend to call hotels or pay-to-sleep places quote-unquote lethal locations, because there's also no one to stop you, no one to intervene. There's, in short, a reason why the windows on hotels don't open all the way, and that's really, really messed up to acknowledge. But thankfully, obviously, deaths are not a common occurrence at hotels. And there's good news. When someone passes away, no matter whether or not it's publicized, which in some cases it's not, the authorities are always notified. I don't know how wealthy you would have to be to cover up a death at a hotel, because, you know, we'll recall there was a very wealthy Middle Eastern guy a while back in London who killed his personal assistant. And he was spotted. He did get clocked. It did go public. I think he got deported back to his home country. The name of this person, by the way, is Saud Abdulaziz bin Nasir Al Saud. This guy did kill his servant. He committed homicide, and he ended up getting back to his home country. But even that guy, at the height of finance, like Black Monday murder style power, even he got called out, at least, if not fully prosecuted. Also, you know, second, if a death occurs, no matter how it happens, most items in the room have to be replaced, right? You can't do, like, to Matt's beautiful point about the scratch and dent policy at a hotel, which is true.
Yeah, can't put it back in circulation.
Yeah, don't rock up there and say, like, hey, I'll take the room where that person died. You don't even have to switch out the furniture. I got a little plastic baggie for the remote. Don't you guys worry.
I would imagine the remote would probably end up in a police evidence lockup. You know, I mean, a lot of that stuff would probably end up leaving the premise, depending on the nature of the crime, of course.
I mean, think about it. You know, you have to treat any item that could absorb some sort of bodily fluid as something that needs to be replaced. And the third thing, which is, again, a good thing, is that these outfits will hire biohazard professionals to clean up the unit. To the earlier point, to make it smell and look clean. It can stand ready for the next customer upon which the business depends.
Well, do we have a specific example of, like, this being discovered, that, like, this has been done? Or are we just kind of speaking in the realm of, like, possibility here?
Yes. There are specific examples of people dying in hotel rooms, the hotel room or unit being cleaned and then opened back for business. There are actually multiple examples.
But not necessarily like a hotel being discovered to have helped somebody cover up murdering a sex worker in their, you know. I'm saying, I think it's certainly possible that this has happened, but I don't know that we have specific examples of that, like, you know, the Hilton chain did this. I think, to your point, it's like, you know, it's sort of like if a murder suicide happens in a home and then it's put back on the market, you know, that's not illegal. It's just there is a certain amount of, like, hush hush that they try to keep, you know, that stuff under wraps unless asked. But certainly if a hotel were asked if anything had happened in this room, they would probably be legally required to tell you.
And here's the stuff they don't want you to know. The hotels in question, for the most part, certainly are not going to advertise the past misadventures of any room unless you're, you know, at the Lizzie Borden Bed and Breakfast. And I can't remember. Yeah, it is. I can't remember if anyone bought it. There is a fantastic blog piece on Vegas in particular. Shout out to Vital Vegas. That has a good in the trenches explanation of this. But also, the problem goes larger. Consider any big metropolis, any high traffic city, Shanghai, Mumbai, Chicago, London, New York, Atlanta. None of these places are hotel staff legally required to tell you anything that went down in the room before you arrived, unless it's asbestos or lead or something like that. You know what I mean?
Even if you ask, though?
Yeah, it's up to them. Heck, they might not know, depending on when it happened. We have the Claremont Hotel the storied Claremont Hotel here in Atlanta. And they have leaned into the history of this place. But if you were to ask what's up with room, you know, I don't know, pick a nice 3-digit number.
469.
What? Nice. What's up with room 469? Then they might not know, even if you do, because it's not something they're necessarily required to know if there's not a health hazard involved. This is kind of deep water again, but I think maybe we end by saying, obviously, people working in the hospitality industry, as we pointed out earlier, they're not super villains. They're really cool people. And often they're getting leaned on by management. So don't pick on your housekeeper. You know what I mean? Be nice. We recently off air, we talked about tipping housekeeping. You guys remember that conversation?
Oh, yeah. No, it's something that I was only hip to in the last handful of years of my life and never looked back. So good to leave it right at the end of your stay, you know, for like the whole kind of shebang.
You know, the one thing we didn't talk about, guys, is something that's pretty prevalent nowadays. I'm going to pull from a story from 2019 that something that occurred in Seoul in South Korea, where there was a small group of people who were going around planting surveillance devices in hotel rooms, specifically cameras. Yeah. So yes. Secret cameras, they would go stay at a hotel room, bring their own device, install it, and then leave, right? And then there was now live video streaming from that hotel room from that point forward. And there were, I think, 1,600 people who ended up getting filmed secretly inside hotel rooms there in Seoul. And others would just go online and you could pay a small fee and then get access to those live streams and even download previous live streams.
I'm so glad you mentioned this, Matt. Yeah, you need to, if you are staying in a hotel, and I get, we are not at all casting aspersion on people working in the hospitality industry. It can be hard for them to clock this stuff. If you are staying in a hotel, you need to treat it like a public space. Is that fair to say? Is that too paranoid?
I think there's...
I don't want to live like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, it's maybe. Maybe bring
really
one of those.
A plastic bag on the remote control is not too far. But
I just mean if I'm staying, I choose not to think that way. I mean, if that's the case. That's the case, but I'm not going to live my life in such a way where I can't enjoy a nice stay at a hotel for fear of being streamed, you know, on the toilet or something.
We look great. We do interesting stuff.
If I'm in a hotel room, it's Nakey time, okay? So, like, if you got to film it. Sure.
Go ahead.
I hope you enjoy it. I hope you have a really good time. But, you know, so that's the way I am in my house. Hope y'all are really enjoying the footage. But, you know, it's one of those weird things where I think if you take that on, Ben, of like, well, I see in my mind, that means taking a device with me to every hotel room and like checking, you know, for reflective glass on every device.
The UV light, what are we? Yeah. And then running the wires and stuff. Yeah. It's just not a way to live, right? Not a way to live enjoyably. It's a way to survive. And living and surviving are two very different things. We pass the room key here to our fellow listeners. We want to thank everybody who took the time to write to us with firsthand experience. We heard a couple war stories. Stay safe, you guys. And we want to hear your thoughts. We hope that this has been, you know, by necessity, this is kind of a high level look at the various things that quote unquote hotels don't want you to know. So tell us the rest. And maybe you'll be on the air with us in a future listener mail segment, like our former bank robber pal. Can't wait for you to hear this story. Do you guys, just behind the scenes here, Matt, Noel, our pals listening right now, they haven't heard this story. Without any spoilers, do you believe this guy? Do you believe this person? You think the fake name worked?
I mean, maybe. There's no way for us to prove, right? So
we'll chop it up. We'll chop it up and we'll chop it up in a future conversation. In the meantime, how about this? Reach out to us. Let us know your weirdest hotel stays. Let us know your behind the scenes information. We cannot wait to hear from you. We try to be easy to find online.
That's right. You can find us at the Handle Conspiracy Stuff on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. Conspiracy Stuff Show on Instagram and TikTok.
Give us a call, 1-833-STDWYTK. Call in and tell us what a sweet connector is. I've never heard of a sweet connector, but apparently you can rent those. And they're super cheap.
Just like doors between the suites? What I don't understand.
Allegedly, it's like a separate room inside the really luxe master suites that exist at the tops of hotels. And it's like a separate room with a locked door that you can sometimes rent if they can't get anybody to rent the whole suite out. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's to keep the hoi polloi away.
Yeah, tell us your stories about that. Again, call that number that I just said and give us a cool nickname and let us know if we can use your name and message on the air. If you don't have time to call or you don't want to call, why not instead send us a good old-fashioned email? We are
conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.